do that. You got to smile during that song. I hope you're happy today, and I hope that we will have a service today that will make you even happier as we think about the blessings that we have through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians, if you would. We're going to be reading some verses there in Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4, and then on through to verse 8, where we will be encouraged today to rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say, rejoice. As we try to rejoice in the Lord, there is a hindrance that comes along that makes it difficult for us to do that. And it is this thing we'll talk about this morning called worry. Probably one of the most empowering statements that Jesus ever made while he was here on earth is found in John chapter 10 and verse 10, where Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." It is clear to me that the only life worth living is life in Jesus Christ. I got one, amen. The only life worth living is life in Jesus Christ. And while that is certainly true, we also understand that life is never easy for any of us. We have our struggles, we have our failures, we have our doubts, we have our disappointments, we have our depressing moments. But the Christian can look at all of these difficulties through the eyes of faith. We can be of good cheer no matter what our circumstances might be. Every day, living the life in Christ, every day that Jesus is Lord of your life is a day of rejoicing. The psalmist said in Psalm 118 and verse 24, he said, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Every day the Lord has made is a day of rejoicing. Do you know that the word rejoice is used 300 times in the Bible? And the words either rejoice, joy, gladness, rejoicing, any words like that are used 600 times in the Bible. And so that is a constant theme throughout the book of God. And that is, again, that Jesus said, "I've come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." But of course, while Jesus has come to be the giver of life, the devil has come to be the destroyer of life. Jesus said that the devil has come as a thief to rob, steal, and destroy. And while God wants us to be a joyous people, he wants us to be a people of joy, the devil comes as a thief, and he comes to rob us of our joy, and the vehicle that he uses is worry. A person who worries is a person who cannot rejoice as God would want us to rejoice. The abundant life that Jesus came to bring cannot be ours when we worry. And we're very good worriers. We worry, I didn't say warriors, I said worriers. We worry about a lot of things in life. We worry about our finances. We worry about our jobs. We worry about our relationships. We worry about our marriages. We worry about our kids. We worry about our health. I can go on and on down the list. The word worry is a word that can also be defined as or described as stress. And I want to talk about these two words today, worry and stress. Stress is a term, another word for stress, or another way of looking at stress. The word stress means to be pulled in two different directions. And so that's why I put these two this strand up here that is being pulled in two different directions, and that is the kind of stress that we face in life. I believe that God has given us a way, though, to handle our stresses in life. And what I want to do today is give you four biblical phrases. They're very simple phrases that appear in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8, phrases that I believe will help us to deal with the stresses that we have in life. In this text, we're going to be told that we are to worry about nothing, we're to pray about everything, we're to thank God for all things, and finally, we are to think about right things. And these are things that we'll consider this morning, again, in Philippians chapter 4. They're very simple statements, but they're also very profound if we choose to apply them as they should be applied in our lives. So let's begin with this first phrase. God wants us to worry about nothing. And the verse very simply says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord. How often? Always, he says. Again, I say rejoice. And he goes on to say, be anxious. Now, if you want to be a person of joy, he says, be anxious for nothing. That is a very blunt command that God gives us in His Word. Be anxious or worry about nothing. We can see from the verses that follow here in Philippians chapter 4 that we're given some more advice, but God tells us right up front, from the get-go, from the start, He tells us how simple this issue is. He says, if you want to handle stress in your life, you need to stop worrying. He says, worry about nothing. I'm a guy that finds, I don't know, maybe my humor is a little different than other people's humor, but I like some of the old school humor. Some of the, how many of you have ever heard of a guy named Bob Newhart? See, I'm finding all the old folks in our audience this morning. Bob Newhart, well, I won't say much about him, but he was a comedian at one time. He had a television show. And you got to go on the internet and just type in Bob Newhart. It will be the very first video that comes up. It's a 6-minute video. And it's about Bob Newhart having a lady come into his office. He is being a psychiatrist. He's going to give her some advice. And she's got a problem in her life. And so she comes in, she sits down, there's some awkward moments as he starts because he's kind of an awkward guy himself. But anyway, they get to the heart of the matter and he basically tells the lady, I'm going to give you 5 minutes to tell me about your problem. And she says, here's my problem. She says, I'm worried about being buried alive in a box. And so he says, really? Well, tell me about it. He says, now has anyone ever threatened to bury you alive in a box? And she said, well, no, but she says, every time I get on an elevator, every time I get in a cramped space, you know, he says, oh, you're worried, you're claustrophobic. He says, no problem. He says, I can handle that problem very easily. He says, what I want to do is I'm going to give you 2 words. And she says, well, she starts reaching in her purse. Should I write these 2 words? He says, no, don't. He says, if you want to write it down, you can, but most of my patients really get these 2 words down really easily. And so he says, are you ready for this? Now listen, he says, stop it. And she looks at him. Whoa, she's kind of surprised. Well, don't you have better advice than that? I mean, I'm worried about being buried alive in a box. And it's just that simple. Just stop it. He says, yes, stop it. And he yells at her, you know, and she's thinking, this guy's really weird, you know. And so she's trying to tell him about how, okay, well, that's the solution. And eventually he says, well, do you have any more problems? And she says, well, yeah, you know, I stick my finger down my throat and I want to vomit all the time. And she goes into all these issues. And he keeps saying, stop it. And she's just really unnerved by all of this. And finally she kind of says, okay, well, I didn't know it was going to be that. I didn't know you were going to be that straightforward about it. You know, I mean, isn't there something more to it? And he says, well, what other problems do you have? And she tells him some more problems. And he finally says, okay, if you want it to be more difficult, here's what I'll give you this. He says, now, I'm going to give you 10 words. Now, if you want to write these down, you can, okay? So she reaches in her purse and she's on the edge of her seat. He says, I'm going to give you 10 words. Now, write them down. He said, stop it or I'll bury you in a box alive. And that's what God is saying right here. As simple as it is, he says, worry about nothing. Stop it. Stop worrying. And sometimes we just need that kind of therapy in life. Now, there are three major problems we have with worry. Three major problems that worry gives us. Major problems with worry. And that is that worry is not helpful, worry is not healthy, and worry is not humane. First of all, it's not helpful. It never accomplishes anything in life. It never solves anything. It's like you sitting in your driveway, racing your engine with your car still in park, and there's lots of smoke and there's lots of noise, but you're not going anywhere at all. You don't accomplish anything. Worry is something that cannot control or cannot change your past, and it cannot control your future. It's just making you miserable today. And so you accomplish nothing by worrying. Somebody said worrying is stewing without doing. And that's something we ought to not do as Christians. Worry only, in fact, exaggerates the problems. It takes the problem and turns a molehill into a mountain. It makes it much larger than it is. The more that you rehash the past, the bigger the problem gets. Sometimes that's our problem really with worry, is it's just a matter of overthinking. And when you overthink a problem, it does look bigger as you keep rehashing and overthinking the problem. If you're worried about something that you can't change, then it's useless. And to worry about something that you can change, it's just stupid. So don't do either of those things. Don't worry about these things. Don't worry. Worry about nothing. Secondly, worry is also, not only is it not helpful, but worry is not healthy at all either. In fact, doctors will tell you this. When you worry, you get ulcers, you get headaches, you have insomnia, and other medical issues crop up. The word worry comes from a word that means to strangle or to choke. And that's basically what it does to us in a physical, or you could say emotional, way as well. That's why what worry does, it strangles the quality of your life. It's not healthy at all. And then thirdly, worry is also not humane. Do you know that the human body was not made to worry? That's not the way God created you. It is a very unnatural thing to do. In fact, no living being in all of God's creation was ever created to worry. Plants and animals, as we saw in the reading, scripture reading earlier in Matthew chapter 6, they don't worry. They don't worry because God didn't make them to worry. Only humans worry. It's not a humane thing. It's not healthy. And thirdly, it's not helpful. You were not born a worrier, by the way. Do you know what happens in life is that you actually learn to worry about things, circumstances that you find yourself in. You have to practice at it to be good. You have to learn how to do that. And some of us have had a lot of practice with this thing called worrying. The good news is that if worry is something that can be learned, it's also something that can be unlearned. So let's see what else we can do about the stresses that we face in our life. The first one was worry about nothing. Now as we move on, hopefully you're right there in Philippians chapter 4, let's look at a second dynamic that he tells us, a very simple biblical phrase. Number one was worry about nothing. Number two, pray about everything. Do you know that stress in your life is basically a built-up pressure? And prayer is the safety valve release on all of that pressure that you're in. When you worry, prayer can actually displace your worries. It won't take away your problems, but it can change the way you look at your problems and give you release as you pray to God about it. Now, in Philippians 4:6, it very simply says, "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." What I want to share with you, three things that we do when we pray in the midst of stress, when we're in stress. Number one, as we said already, we replace the worry with prayer. Do you know, whenever God tells you to eliminate something, he also gives you something superior to replace it with. So when he tells us don't worry, he says now, and worry about nothing, he says pray about everything. God always replaces a negative with a positive. And prayer is something very positive that conquers our worries. Worry happens when we focus too much on material concerns. We're worried about our kingdom. We're worried about our physical things. We're worried about what concerns us from a human point of view. Prayer is a way that we take our focus off of the material thing, and then we pray and think about things from a spiritual perspective. Did you notice in our scripture reading earlier, it's a verse that we're all very familiar with, but maybe we need to see it from maybe a little different angle. Remember Jesus said, see in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and what? If you're seeking God's kingdom first, and I'll tell you what, prayer is a really good way to do that, to get your focus off the worry and the physical thing. You're seeking God's kingdom. God says, you seek my kingdom and I'll take care of your kingdom. You pray to me, and if you then, with that worry, if you replace it with prayer, you begin to see things differently. And God says, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of your kingdom. And so with prayer, we replace our worries. Second thing we do with prayer is we also refuse to panic when we pray. Prayer rechannels our energy away from the panic, leading to, as the Bible puts it in Philippians 4:7, leading to peace. Panic to peace. He says not just a regular, any old kind of peace. He says a peace that surpasses all understanding. God replaces, when we pray, we refuse to panic. We take our attention off the problem and we put our attention on the solution. Prayer is not some kind of self-talk pep rally that we go to, where we kind of psych ourselves into feeling a better way about our problems. That's not what happens at all. We are opening up our minds to see things the way God wants us to see things. And so we're able to avoid the panic and find the peace. And then thirdly, in prayer, we also ultimately, we rely on God. You know, it's too bad that we sometimes only turn to God in our times of trouble. Shame on us for doing that. It says here that we should pray what? He says pray about everything. You see, God is interested in everything about your life. The word that he uses here, requests, is a word that implies a specific request. Sometimes, you know, we're really pretty good in praying to God and kind of generically asking him. God wants you to be specific about what you're praying to him. He wants you to zero in on the problem so that you can then begin to see a solid solution. So he says, come to me with your specific requests. I hope that our prayers to God, as you're praying to God individually, that your prayers are more specific about the generic prayers that we have here in our worship services, which are still good, but we are individuals praying to God and we should be very specific. We should be able to tell him about everything and anything. That's why the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:7, it says, casting all your cares on him, for he cares for you. And so you can rely on God for everything in your life. And by praying to him about everything, you replace your worries, you refuse to panic, and you rely on him for everything in life. And so instead of stressing out about things, worry about nothing, and pray about everything. Now, let's consider a third dynamic here this morning, a third phrase that is hinted at here in Philippians 4:6. We said, be anxious for nothing, worry about nothing, pray about everything. And then he goes on to talk about thanksgiving here. He says, we are to, with thanksgiving, let our request be made known to God. We are told to be thankful in the Bible for all things. We are to thank God for everything. The healthiest human emotion that you can ever muster up is an attitude of gratitude. to have a grateful heart. God has designed us to function at peak performance when we are a thankful people. When we choose to have gratitude, we are hitting it on all cylinders in life. We are really getting into the will of God. Watch someone who continues to be ungrateful over a period of time, and you know what? You will watch them unravel every time. There's just something about gratitude that changes us, that makes us shine, that makes us be all of what God wants us to be. Even psychiatrists have done studies to show this as well. But more importantly, God tells us it's right. It's the right thing to be thankful. Now, supposedly, a physical benefit from being thankful, though, psychiatrists say this, doctors say this, is that this attitude of gratitude increases your immunities. That is, ungrateful people are unhappy and they are more susceptible to illnesses in life. They weaken their immune system and they get sick easier because they're just not grateful about what God is doing. Now, that may be true, but more importantly, and I've kind of hinted on this already, having an attitude of gratitude, what it does is it improves your focus in life. Gratitude takes your focus off the burdens of life and puts them on your blessings in life. And so if you're depressed, what you ought to do is sit down. I know it sounds kind of a little, trivial, but sit down and just write a list of 20 things, maybe 10, 20 things that you're grateful for. And then take that list and go to God in prayer, a quiet moment in your life, and meticulously go through each of those things that you put on your page there and thank God for every one of those things. Pray to Him and you'll soon see your stress level in life go down, way down, and you'll be a person of gratitude. Now, this isn't some kind of psychological exercise. This is something that is rooted in the Word of God. It identifies you, when you're a person of gratitude, it identifies you with God's will. Because you see, that's God's will for your life. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Bible says, "Give thanks in all things, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." It's God's will that you be grateful in all things. He wants you to worry about nothing, pray about everything, and thank God for all things. And now we get to our last point this morning, and that's in Philippians chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. The Bible says that we ought to think about the right things. It says here in verse 7, when we pray, it says, "The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And he goes on to say, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, he says, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, positive, you see, he says, meditate on these things. So, to reduce stress in your life, what you have to do is you have to change the way that you think. It's very simple. Problems in life are external, but stresses in your life are internal. This is an inner struggle that you have. And your brain is the control center. Your brain is the facilitator of data that is being put into your system. And more than a machine, though, your mind is a gift from God. And the human mind, by the way, I don't know if you know this, the human mind can actually store over 100 trillion thoughts. And God calls the Christian to use his or her mind differently than the world. Paul says, the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, he says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You see, that's how we stand out different than the world. Our thinking processes are different. We're not just going with the flow, conforming to what other people are thinking and how they're operating in life. Instead, we're being transformed by the renewing of our mind through God's will to prove what God's will is. Our minds are on a different plane. The Apostle Paul says it this way in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. He says, "Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth." There are two distinct ways we can use our minds to reduce stress. And the first one is that we need to guard our minds. And he says that right there in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. People who have a lot of stress in their lives, they allow just anything to enter into their minds. The Christian, though, if we were to go back, let me go back to the verse there. The Christian, though, has eight thought filters that he puts his thoughts through. He or she is going to run their thoughts through these filters to make sure they're the kind of things that they ought to be allowing into their minds. Things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report. He says things that are praiseworthy. And if you put every thought that is about to enter into your mind through this list, let me tell you something. You're going to have peace. I guarantee it. You will have peace in your life. But then, of course, what's going to happen is you're going to turn around and do that exercise, and then you're going to go out and you're going to watch a movie. Or you're going to be around maybe worldly friends. Well, they're around us all the time, right? This is our atmosphere. And so we're going to have these thoughts come in, and then we're going to allow a thought to go unfiltered, and those thoughts then will bring some degree of stress into your life. The mind unfiltered can do you great harm. And so again, you need to think about right things. So something else you have to do now is you also have to guide your mind. You guard your mind, but let me tell you something else. You need to guide your mind with these thoughts. Some of you might have remember seeing the movie Fireproof. And one of the lines in that movie, to me, really stood out as I was watching the movie. And the line was in the movie, he says, "Don't follow your heart, lead your heart." I think that's pretty good advice. People are just going with the flow, following whatever their heart, you know, the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked above all things, Jeremiah 17:9. So the heart can take us in all different kinds of directions. He says, don't follow your heart, lead your heart. Get in the driver's seat of your heart and mind and take control. Make deliberate, conscious choices about what you think. You see, the mind, when the mind is allowed to drift, what you need to ask yourself as the mind is drifting on different things, is this thing true? Is it noble? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it praiseworthy? Put those thoughts through these filters, and if you think the right things, then you're going to reduce the stress in your life. In order to do this, you're going to need to guard your mind and guide your thoughts. Well, as you can see this morning, there are some things that we need to do to reduce the stress in our lives. That when we do these things, we are guaranteed something quite amazing, quite unexplainable, and that is where we gain a peace, the peace of God. We have to worry about nothing, pray about everything, thank God in all things, and then think about right things. But let me tell you what reducing stress you have to understand is a very bold endeavor. Reducing stress really is a God-sized job. That is, you'll need God to help you do this. That's where prayer comes in. But God is the one who can help you do all of this. You can do none of these things without making Jesus Lord of your life. If you look in Philippians 4:7, I don't have it on the screen, but in 4:7, you find the phrase, peace of God. Then down in chapter 4, verse 9, you find the God of peace. The God of peace will be with you only when you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ and made Him Lord. As we close this morning, I did have it up there. There's the peace of God and the God of peace. As we close this morning, I want to let you know that worry is basically a control issue. That's really what it's about. The root behind all your worries is a fear that you have that you're not in control. Sort of like that lady about the fear about being in the box, you know. She's losing her control. She's cramped in. And so worry is you fearing that you're not in control. Worry is always an attempt for you to control the uncontrollable. And worry is assuming a responsibility that God never intended for you to have. Whenever you try to control the uncontrollable, whether it's the economy, whether it's your health, your spouse you're trying to control, or whatever it is, you're going to worry. You're going to choke yourself. You're trying to control something that you were not meant to control. And so do yourself a favor. Let Jesus be Lord of your life. It's really that simple. The word Lord is in His job description, not yours. But God gives you the option. He doesn't force you to, He doesn't force Himself on you. He lets you choose. Either you're going to be in control or you're going to let Him be in control. You know, I want to tell you something. God is not in the co-pilot business. You ever heard that illustration? You know, God's your co-pilot. No, you're not. It's not even that God's the pilot and you're the co-pilot. There's no co-piloting going on in all of this. God lets you choose. Either you be in control or let Him be in control. And if God, by the way, if God was in the co-pilot business, you would crash your plane and then you'd blame Him for it. So that's not the way it works at all. Either pilot your plane or let God pilot your plane. Now, if you choose to be the pilot, let me issue you a warning. If you are in control of your life, this is a dangerous thing. You are playing God. And let me tell you something. I've tried it a few times and it doesn't have a good ending. When I try to play God, that's when I find out very quickly I'm not God, I'm not in control, I'm worrying about things I shouldn't worry about, and my life becomes a mess. So you can't run your life. Let God take control, and it will be a whole lot easier. As we close this morning, we talk about Jesus being Lord of your life. Do you believe that Jesus is God's Son? Do you believe that He has the power over death, that He died Himself on the cross for your sins, was buried, and He rose again? Do you believe that He's the Son of God? And if you believe that this morning, are you willing today to repent of your sins and to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins so you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38? And when Jesus is Lord of your life, then and only then will you be able to conquer the enemy called stress. And if you, as a Christian, maybe you've kind of got into the co-pilot business, and this morning you need to repent of that, let Him take control again and be Lord of your life, we want to invite you to come right now as we stand to sing.